Hopefully that will help. Now, you guys ready to dig in today? Okay, so you're going to have, today's one of those days. You're going to have, if you're going to follow along, you're going to get there. You're going to have to dig in and settle in for a little while. We're going to be in Romans chapter 7. The title of the message is The New Way of the Spirit. Now, it's not a misleading title, but the most of what we're going to get into today is not dealing with that. That's the end, all right? But that's the good part. So that's the hook at the very end. So we're going to have to feed for a little while, and then I'm going to set the hook on you guys, and we're going to reel it in at the end. But we're going to read 13 verses. I don't usually do that many verses at one time, but we're going to do that today. We're going to read 13 verses, and I'm going to kind of just give you an overview of what we're going to look at, and then we'll just get right into it. And so if you would stick with me through points 1 and 2, because we're going to get to some stuff, and I pray that it all begins to make a little sense. And I give you that bit of an intro because when I get through reading it, you may shake your head and go, what are we talking about here? Because sometimes when you read the book of Romans, that's exactly how you feel. And so I'm going to do my best to give you an explanation. There's more here than you can cover in 10 sermons in chapter 7, but we're going to try to do chapter 7 in 2 and do our best. So follow along with me. Please follow with me in your Bibles or on the screens, starting in verse 1. He says, "Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure." And let's pray. God, our prayer today, number one, is for blind eyes to be opened. Only your Spirit can do that. God, that you'll take the word, work in the hearts of the people here, open up the eyes that they may be able to see. God, secondly, we pray, Father, that you give clarity to your word, that you show, God, what it is that you are saying to us and why it's important for us to understand it. God, I pray that it speaks to everybody here today in some way, shape, or form, on some level in their life. God, we give you honor and praise. You are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are five main things that I think Paul's doing in these 13 verses. one, he's trying to remind us that we are no longer bound to law keeping. And let me say, and you'll see that I'll hash this out a little bit later, law keeping as a means of righteousness. We see that God's goal for us, his work in us, is so that we will bear fruit. Thirdly, we're going to see that God's perfect and holy law was used against us. It worked against us. But we'll also see that the law has a really good purpose, and you need to use it and see it for what it is and let it work in you. And then finally, we're going to see that we are now to serve God by the Spirit. So point number one is we are no longer bound to law keeping. No longer bound to law keeping. And I want you to know, we're going to understand this a lot different than his audience did. He says, "For I'm speaking to those who know the law." He says, so he's speaking to those who know the law. Nonetheless, even though there's a group of people in the church that he's speaking to that have a huge Jewish background, they understand the law. Nonetheless, the idea of law keeping for salvation continues even today. And many of us have come out of it. Many of us may not realize we were in it, but we were. Now, what does he mean here? Okay, so the principle remains the same. Now, what does he mean here by law keeping? And I want you to see what he's saying here. There's no mention that the law is bad, that it's not good. So understand that there, because you may walk away from this thinking, Paul, you're really bashing the law a little bit. And isn't God's law really good? Why are you doing this? So there's no mention that the law is not good or that it is bad. So first of all, we see that he's not saying don't keep the Ten Commandments. Because as a rule of life, the Ten Commandments are good, right? As a rule of life, they're really good. Not for the earning of salvation. And there's the rub. There's the problem. There's what he's trying to attack. He says, I believe what he has in mind here is that the law, being all the rules and regulations, the sacrificial system, the ceremonial laws, all the cleansing and all that, see, Christ has come along and he's fulfilled them. They were simply shadows of Jesus Christ who was going to come. So if you ever read the Old Testament and you get bogged down, I really think that I've said the word bogged down like 10 times today, and I haven't said it in a whole year. So anyway, if you get bogged down in the second half of Exodus, and then in Leviticus, and then in Numbers for sure, and Deuteronomy, because you're like, what are all these things? I want you to remember, they're pointing to Christ, all right? So he's saying, all these rules, see, they've been fulfilled in Christ, in his life, death, resurrection. And then he's also trying to say the idea